Welcome to a special bonus episode of Tales of the Trade from Amaya Media. I'm Chirag Desai. Now, on our last episode, I was speaking to serial entrepreneur Samer Hamde about his journey from advertising to nightlife to now his F&B empire with Akiba Dori, which is set to expand to multiple countries over the next couple of years. And you can catch the full episode in this podcast player. There are many elements that set Akiba Dori apart. Outside of the metro Tokyo interiors and their take on Tokyo street food, is what Samer calls the Tokyopolitana, a delicious blend of pure Italian pizza traditions from Napoli in Italy with the engineering finesse of Japan.
So the oven has an incredible story. A guy, a Japanese gentleman who lived in Napoli for years in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, moved back to Tokyo, couldn't find good pizza. He went and engineered his own Neapolitan oven. But because he's Japanese, unfortunately, it's not a racist thing to say, but the Japanese are meticulous with details. Sometimes, I mean, they're such on a different level, the Japanese. It's really an impressive culture compared to what I'm used to with the Lebanese, who just everyone wants to just take credit for things that like their grandfather did. And say, oh, my family did this. So he reverse engineered or re-engineered this oven to make it super efficient. The bricks they use are from one factory in some random remote eastern town that has been making bricks for like a century. It's insane, the story. So one of my partners on Akiba Dori, Wasif, goes to Japan all the time. He's in the energy sector. I have a small group of partners in Akiba. And he kept raving and raving on about this pizza. We were at a friend's kid's birthday party, which again, I only went to because like one of my best friend's kid's birthdays. He starts, I tell him I'm opening Akiba Dori, and he's like, oh, because he's like, let's bring this pizza here. So anyway, so we ended up sending Luigi, our pizzaiolo, who's from Napoli, who's like a hardcore Napoli boy. Like when Napoli beat Juve, like it's free pizza for everyone in the restaurant against him. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? You're killing me. He went to Japan for a couple of months, for almost 6 months. Doesn't speak a word of Japanese. His sensei doesn't speak a word of English. It was amazing. And he learned how to make this pizza, or one pizza, the marinara. At least everything else, we had to wing it afterwards. Because if you can't make that pizza right, you're not doing it right. It's over. Just go move on. And people are like, what? People are like, Japanese pizza? I'm like, no, it's Italian. They're like, well, it doesn't make sense. Well, the oven's Japanese. The flour's Japanese. The salt's Japanese. And the method is Japanese. But the ingredients are Italian, the rest of the ingredients. Okay, interesting. And it took off. The pizza is what brings people in to Akiba Dori. It's the lightest pizza on the market. I'll say this like straight up, like we've, you know, engineered every calorie, every whatever that goes into it, so we know. And it was a huge hit. People came for the pizza but stayed for the street food. The street food is actually pretty amazing. We've just, you know, our menu started off with 60 items. We're at 100 now. And our kitchen is tiny, like tiny. It's the tiniest kitchen you'll ever see for a restaurant that size, 120 seats. We got really lucky with our head chef, Tony Antonio. He's been in the, you know, Asian food industry for like a decade. And he comes up with creative, really creative recipes and stuff. And he works with Billy, my operations director, on fine-tuning them. Billy's super creative also with the menus. He's responsible for like most of the menu as well. Because that's not my thing. Yeah. Let's put it that way. I can bring people into a restaurant. I can PR the hell out of it, but creating a menu is not my jam. I'm just not interested in it, to be honest. I have a very weird taste when it comes to food. Like, I like, probably at the risk of getting shot on my way out, like, I like pineapple on my pizza.
You did not just say that.
I did say that. Like, I'll have a Hawaiian anytime. Like, me and Michelle from Pitfire talk about this all the time. We're like, hell yeah, we do. I can see the disappointment in your face, by the way. You just dropped on, like, you're like, this guy's so cool. And I was like, I'm going to murder this guy.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, when I lived in the States and stuff, that's what I was introduced to.
Well, there, it's a Canadian thing.
No, that's not true. Yeah, it's a bit weird anyway. The whole idea is weird, according to me anyway, but like, you know, whatever. If you're going to debate this.
Luigi won't make it for me in Akiba. He's like, no way on earth. He's like, I will quit. I'm like, okay. So I have to order.
Yes, and I can think of, like I said, there's only one other place I think the pizza is that good, and they will refuse to do so, I'm pretty sure. Side story. But actually, I think, because Pizza Hut used to have that here when we were growing up.
Yeah, they still
the
do.
Pineapple on pizza. Hawaiian. So I know I've eaten it, but it was just something that was just weird. And then when I went to the States, it was very common. The Hawaiian is like one of the very, very common pizza. But I think it's only after I went back into and I got a taste of the proper Napolitana and stuff, and that now I've become a bigger stickler.
You're
for
a
being
snob
the,
now. You're now a pizza
I'm a snob.
I
so
get
now,
it.
Now,
I get
now
it.
I'm
it's
more,
okay.
Now I'm like, no. I don't want pineapple on my pizza. Although, to be fair, Rosa Vivo had one where they had lemon on a pizza thing.
Correct.
And it was pretty good. I have to give him that.
Same family.
As Summer mentioned, he's entirely a businessman, or as he calls it, an opportunist. And this makes him look at the F&B business perhaps a little more strategically than emotionally. And that's why he keeps exploring the connect people have with food and how the delivery game over the last couple of years is changing that connect.
At the end of the day, food is supposed to make you feel something. It's not just about the way it tastes, what the place sounds like, the other people that are there, what the place looks like, and it invokes something in you. If it's just food, you can just order at home and not care about. There's no connection with food.
Which
at
I think
home,
is what's happening is what we're seeing now as a trend as well, is that, you know, that disconnect is broad enough now that it's become very mainstream, right? Like we're not.
When you order food to the house, do you feel any connection towards what you're eating?
No, of course not.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're
yeah.
like a robot.
Yeah.
It's here, open the box, eat. But now when I think about it, now that I'm much older, not much older, but I'm 39, okay, versus when I was a kid, I was always out. But I still liked ordering food, and I lived in hotels for like 12 years. Including like the address in Dubai Mall. I was there for almost 6 years. I used to order room service. I loved room service. Like, I lived for it, and I love hotel food for that. But now when I think about it, as much as I love ordering food to the house, I mean, we're eating out of a box.
Yeah. Often watching Netflix. Like we're
not even watching Netflix. Just have something in the background.
That's what I mean. Like we're not even focused on any
like,
one
it's
thing.
It's a factory. Yeah. Like it's sad. In a way, it's kind of sad. And by the way, I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and I said I was betting against delivery for the millennial generation because these kids don't want to be at home. They want to be out exploring. There's a band called Ghosts, and they have a song called The World Is Outside. And all it is nostalgia about being on a train and going and exploring. Like, what happened to us?
Yeah.
And I know this is a very existential question to ask, but ultimately, we were wanderers and explorers, and we used to go out and freaking figure things out. Now we want everything to come to us. Obviously, convenience is more important to us than exploring now, but I guarantee you there are people out there, and there's a whole generation of them coming, that aren't those people. They don't want to be locked up in a room.
No, and they want
TV.
To reverse that trend as well. Yeah, you will see.
They want
to
be out, even if it's just walking somewhere, just to see something new, they're going to do it. And this is the next generation that's coming in. And I'll bet you anything, in 10 years, you'll tell me it's a brave new world. People want to be out and exploring. I will want to be out in a park and get Deliveroo to me in the park.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be at home anymore. So I think that idea of just sitting at home, it's a little bit Soviet for this era. I mean, it's a little bit go work, be a good worker, go home and eat, sleep, get your nutrients and rest and come back and do it again. So, and now we're seeing less and less corporate people, less and less people want to work in companies, more people want to be entrepreneurs, more people want to be, well, I call them opportunists because I don't like the word entrepreneur. I think opportunist is the right word.
Ouch.
No, I'm just... Yeah, but I think it's so over... You're an opportunist. You look at something, there's an opportunity there, you take advantage of it. It's not always like a love thing and like this passion thing, but a lot more people, and I see this a lot with the younger generation, don't want to be in a suit and tie working at a company. They want to work from their house, they want to work from their car if they have a Tesla, and they have autopilot on. They want to work from a restaurant, from a cafe. Get work done.
Yeah.
And you can see the insurgence of these work on vacation programs. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the one? Unsettled, where you go pay a little bit and you go
Correct.
Like live in Argentina for 3 months
and
you
Bali
go from there.
And,
That's incredible. But this is where we should be pushing people to do things like that. Not saying stay home and then go to work and then come back home and then go to work.
Or like check in at 8.
You'll be 40 before you know it, and then you're like, what the hell have I done for the last 10 years? So I encourage people to be comfortable, of course. We deliver Akibadori to houses. We don't deliver the pizza.
I was going
to
say, I really hope you don't, yeah.
I don't. It will ruin the product. And when I want pizza, I get Pit Fire. So I'm happy with that. Or 800 Pizza. That's what delivers to where we live. And yeah, other than that, honestly, it's an interesting experience being in hospitality. It's no less different than being in any other industry. I just think with us, if we are loyal to our customers and we treat them right, they're loyal to us and they treat us right.
Thank you for joining us. This bonus episode wraps up this season of Tales of the Trade, keeping in light the new restrictions that are now in place in Dubai. We do hope you're all safe out there, and we hope to be back again later this year with a new season. Until then, do check out our other shows here at Amaya Media. We'll see you soon.